If there's content that's borderline, that's content that we basically will not.
There is no second best. There is no second best crypto asset.
I respect you, and I have a great deal of appreciation to you, JF.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. We are doing a show in the afternoon because we have with us Dia the Anarchist, a new YouTuber who showed up and is doing quite clever videos. The Fayyim have gone insane, synthesizing anarchism and the red pill. We'll see what she has to say. Very old school style videos. You know, I remember back in those days when YouTube was made of anonymous contributors and we were putting together edited videos with rhythm to it and text on the screen. And that reminds me a lot of the beginning of my career back in 2015. Diad is with us. How are you doing, Diad?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you?
Doing great. So tell us about yourself and your ideas. It seems that you are very much embedded into red pill thinking around female-male dynamics?
Yes, that is one of the things that I'm interested in. I took it upon myself to just go through the entirety of the Red Archive website. Okay, not the entirety, but there's archives online of old red pill blogs, and I decided just to read through as much of that as possible when I was like 15. And I also read some of the OG Red Pill books. Like, I read that book by David Data, The Way of the Superior Man. And I forget, okay, I don't think I read the Rollo Tomassi original Red Pill book, but, you know, like, I'm familiarized with all the Red Pill talking points. And I think, well, the Red Pill knowledge is essentially what people thought about men and women for all of civilization. So we're just reinventing the wheel, basically. And it's kind of sad that it has to be given a term. Oh, red pill this. Oh, you know what's worse? Red pill this, black pill that. They're actually all connected. Like, the red pill is true because the black pill is true because the blue pill is true. Like, these aren't separate pills. They're just different facets of reality. Social status matters, because who you are on the inside matters, because looks matter. Like, it's all connected, and it's being compartmentalized into, like, different ideologies when they actually all cohesively go very well together as analysis. And that's the main focus of my channel. I want to separate analysis from ideological interpretations of that analysis. I know I can be an anarchist and agree with much of red pill analysis without agreeing with red pill influencers on what we should do from that point onward. So that is the core idea of my channel. Separate analysis from interpretations to say, yes, I agree with you on your vision of reality and the way that you perceive things, but I cannot accept your end conclusion, which of course for most in this online space is statism, authority, etc. You get the point. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's all I have to answer that question.
There's a lot of it to expand on what you said. That's very interesting. Analysis versus conclusions. Sometimes, most often, they are embedded. That's because you don't do an analysis if you don't have a political project. At least that's how a lot of intellectuals work. You know, a Nick Fuentes will not annoy you with details if it doesn't build into a conclusion. But there may be a space to exploit where someone is less ideologically involved, less involved in the pragmatic politics, and more interested in the truth. Now, you mentioned Rollo Tomassi. I'll tell you what, since you haven't read him, I also didn't read him for a while until I did a review of his book much later in life, and I realized it's not even advanced red pill. It's really liberal thinking. His stuff is about how do you get woman, but in a way that is very woman-framed, in a way that, that puts men at the service of woman emotionally. So I highly recommend you read it to just realize how much of an unfit for the red pill Rollo Tomassi has become. Now, so when you say red pill, because you often use these labels for ideologies and you don't specify them super in detail in your videos. So I'd like to know, what is your interpretation of the red pill in dating?
The red pill itself, I perceive as an online term for this analysis in this online sphere. So we, when we think of the manosphere and the way that different people in the manosphere perceive of dating, that's what I call the red pill, is like the kind of dating analysis that got popular. But in terms of what I think, like my own version of the red pill, I really do just believe in having a feminine mystique. And because the thing is, you don't even have to be that attractive physically to attract someone. It's mainly an energy-based thing. And, you know, as a beautiful mid myself, as some may say on the internet, it's really not that hard. Like, most of what, dare I say, most of what women concern themselves with is the expectations that other women put on them, and then your life becomes a living hell. But if you're just pleasant to be around and happy, that's kind of the hard part. I've spoken to a lot of depressed women. If you can't, men hate it when they can't make a woman happy. That's the hard part. If you can be happy and pleasant to be around, feminine, I think it's pretty easy to attract the opposite sex. Like, I can't believe that until I was like 15, I had no idea about this. And I would like talk to boys and I would be kind of an idiot. Mm-hmm. And I would try to copy men because I like men. So I try to copy men. It's like the female equivalent of sending a dick pic. Like, oh, men are attracted to men are attracted to boob pictures, so they think that women will be attracted to their dick pics. But in reality, like, men and women are so fundamentally different, and we just project our own desires onto the opposite sex when we're not educated about it. So that's really, like, the main turning point of my life was realizing, oh, I'm fundamentally different from men, and I shouldn't pretend to be them, even if I do have so-and-so masculine qualities. I really cannot pretend that what I find attractive in a man is something that I should emulate for myself.
That is absolutely deep wisdom. Roughly, how old are you?
It's funnier if I don't say.
Okay, because you sound maybe like a 16, maybe like an 18-year-old woman. I mean, this is levels of wisdom that I've not seen in a woman of any age. So you've been thinking about this very deep, and it's interesting to see the product of this. So in terms of the degeneracy of the modern world, how do you approach it as an anarchist?
I realize it's the product of, one, primarily material conditions, right? The Industrial Revolution happened. We're able to mass produce all of these products. We're able to advertise at a scale never seen before. I mean, you hear the phrase sex sells, right? Like, that is fundamentally because of capitalism, because we have the technological capacity to act upon this quote-unquote degeneracy. So really, all I can do is just be against it. That's all I can do on an individual level is, okay, I'm against technological progress, I'm against the Industrial Revolution, I'm against the state, and I'm against capitalism. And the state, you'd be surprised, like, a lot of people don't think about how the government contributes to degeneracy, but it absolutely does. And it's very easily seen in welfare programs, like, oh, you're a single mom with 7 children, here you go, we'll subsidize your life for you. But also just in the fact that governments give companies these huge bailouts, and these companies promote quote-unquote degenerate behaviors and mentalities, means that the government, it, as an institution, has its own hand to play in protecting degeneracy. And this is in addition to the fact that the kinds of people who become part of the government in the first place tend to, you know, there's a certain character archetype with those who believe they should rule over others. The fact that repeatedly throughout all of human history, tyrants exist, and, well, I know there's like specific examples of pedophiles in government, but obviously we all know about the Epstein files. The fact that this is even allowed to exist says something about the inherent nature of government as an institution. Complete negation of it is the only logical conclusion.
Absolutely. Now, as far as the degeneracy, like sexual degeneracy of the OnlyFans, porn, just the general tendency of women to use displays of sex for something else than marriage, for scamming or just exploiting men. How do you approach this problem? Because fundamentally, we're talking about liberty. It all starts with liberty, and then it transfers into a form of exploitation and corruption of love and sex.
I'd argue it starts with the family. If you are raised in a good family, you will not even think to become a prostitute. Like these women that become online prostitutes, their parents don't love them, or their father is very weak, or there's like something fundamentally wrong. They're on a bunch of SSRIs from like age 13 onwards. They're on birth control from like age 16 onwards. Fundamentally, the culture has to change, and I actually do have a plan on how to change the culture of the internet, if you would like me to go in depth about that.
Absolutely. I'd like to hear about this.
Okay. So we know that the left and right, politically speaking, are coming together in a kind of interesting, sort of odd way. They are merging algorithmically. And we see this in shared linguistics. For example, leftists, now they say the word goyslop. Have you heard a leftist say the word goyslop many years ago? No, of course not. And right-wingers will say things like lived experience. I saw several tweets the other day where somebody tweeted Fuentesian groyperism with Spencerite characteristics. Do you know where that's from? That's how Maoists would describe their ideology. The linguistics are merging. We are merging into one socially. And it's not just through that. It's also through, I know many people have commented on this before, there's a kind of like petty anti-Semitism that unites the left and right together. Some man on Substack wrote an excellent article about the reverse red pilling effect, where people become red pilled on Jews first now, instead of that like liberals are crazy and feminism is bad or whatever. So, or whatever. Yeah, so we see that there is this very clear merge between the left and right. The only question is, how will this merge continue? Because right now, the merge is quite chaotic, and I have a plan to actually give this algorithmic merge a guiding hand, so it's not chaotic. I can argue that my videos are the perfect means for this, because they are, one, empathetic first, which is very important for the leftist audience, by the way. Having empathy as the first priority in my videos is extremely important. Empathy first, and two, my videos are controversial in their conclusions in a way that gets both leftists and right-wingers talking to each other. I mean, I think I'm the only individualist anarchist YouTuber or primitivist. I identify with a couple different schools of thought. But that's going to get people talking, that my end conclusions are pretty much always complete negation of our current society. That's a good thing. I can get people discussing the ideas from all different political demographics, and I can just funnel them into watching and discussing the concepts of my videos through not just, for example, going through talk shows like I am with you, but also through aggressive cross-posting. I've been aggressively cross-posting things on various image boards. I've been on fascist image boards, believe it or not, Lefty Pole, 4chan, like a bunch of image boards. Like, I am putting myself in the line of fire, and I'm getting roasted by everyone, but it must be done so that I can merge the algorithms in a virtuous way.
This is very interesting. Yes. So you want to be a guiding hand for this. What is really a fortunate teaming that is happening, because it has to happen on certain teams, simply the fact that the two extremes of the political spectrum end up being along a circle and they connect together in the end. Alain Soral in France has been making this prediction for 10 years that the extremes will ally against the middle. Because the medal, ultimately, the medal of politics is the medal of acceptance and of passive acceptance of the progress of modernity. And in a way, this is the great enemy, especially for someone like you. I mean, you may be the first female I ever meet who seems to qualify as some kind of an anarcho-primitivist who wants to return to a state of nature, even if this means preserving technology, preserving the good that has been achieved, but leaving behind the societal illnesses that were created along it. Extremely interesting. Now, when you talk of strategy and pragmatism, your YouTube videos are very much reminding me of the early YouTubing days when we were all anonymous. I mean, I'm one of a rare exception who has worked with his real name from the start, but everyone around the community was always anonymous. I remember YouTubers that had anonymous names that disappeared across the years. And I wonder, and I don't want to say that you should be forced or that you should feel that there's some deadline at which you have to show your face or come out as in a named way, but I wonder to what extent there is a limit in modern YouTubing for someone who will stay anonymous, because there's something implied in showing your body and face to the camera, and it's that you're all in. And a lot of the people who were successful at carrying ideas forward, like Nick Fuentes, they showed face, they worked under their real name, because it shows that, and it's not just about the boobs or, you know, showing that you're a woman, which definitely would attract more clicks, but it wouldn't be durable.
Not the good effects. Kind.
But it's more like, even for men, even for someone who's not beautiful, showing themselves is a testament of their commitment and the sign that, hey, I'm all in. Because from the minute I showed my face on camera, I couldn't become a manager at McDonald's. And so my ideas had to win.
So that is a good point. But I would argue that this also shows I'm all in. Because if I don't show my face as a female, I'm not getting any money. So I'm going to do this for such a long time and still be broke and still be all in a very tangible sense. So that's one point. The second point is that my 12th video that I'm planning, well, I read the script for it already, but it is a critique of the persona. I fundamentally realize that online politics is a hollowed out corpse that people think is a real corpse, but it's actually just bones. And my goal is to make some compost with those bones and create a beautiful tree. Because, like, really, I'm on Twitter, right? I hear all this slop. Dan said this about Nick, and blah, 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 and this is what he said about him, and this guy's Jewish, and, like, I really just don't care. Like, I really don't care to be brought into that kind of environment where it's like, there's this anarchist woman, and, you know, her eyes are brown, maybe she's Jewish, like, I don't know, guys, if I can trust her. like, there's... The more you show yourself, yes, like in a sense, short term, you do gain more credibility. It would help the growth of my channel and of my ideas short term, but long term, it would actually destroy the memetic spread of my ideas. My ideas would become attached to me as a person. They would not spread memetically on their own. Like, you think about memes, right? You think about, like, you know those old, like, impact bold font memes where it's like a woman looking surprised or something? Well, the actual personhood of that woman becomes erased when she becomes the meme. It's just a meme in of itself. My videos, my ideas are the memes. Yes, I need a bare minimum persona for my ideas to take root, which is what I'm doing right now as a faceless, disembodied voice, but I don't need a persona larger than that. I genuinely believe that not only does 20% of the effort give you 80% of the reward, but that long term, even if the name Diode does not become famous, my ideas will. People will repeat my talking points. People will make memes. People will make copy pastas of them. And that's how my ideas will really spread. Not through being attached to me as a person, but by standing on their own.
Very interesting. I have a lot of respect for your love of the dilution to the essential. That is absolutely admirable. Now, I do think that, you know, the reason people have come out and developed their own persona is the realization that the world is so dirty that there's no way for legitimate ideas to penetrate the public space in any capacity without being carried by a persona. So I think that you have a very idealistic view of mimetic spreading, the pureness of the ideas.
Oh, it's not idealistic. There's another part of my plan.
Okay, well, talk to us about it then.
Okay. I actually thought about all of this beforehand. So as we know, 4chan was the start of a lot of memes. The entirety of the internet speaks 4chan now. 4chan was the home base for the mimetic spread of a lot of the ideas of the alt-right. Well, what if I made my own equivalent of 4chan for me and my audience to partake in, a public forum, home base for the spread, mimetic spread, of not only my ideas, but the ideas of whoever interacts with mine? That really would spread the ideas. I can just make my own version, well, not exactly like 4chan, but make something very similar, and that would work.
That's very interesting. Are we talking about a fully freedom of speech type of site?
Yes.
So are we talking about, have you thought about the technicals of this in terms of hosting, in terms of surviving parasitism, in terms of surviving leftists posing as Nazis?
Yes. So I've thought about everything. Well, I know...
this girl has been just thinking. She's been thinking for 10 years about everything.
I actually got interested in politics when I was 10 years old, believe it or not. So you're not.
It does feel like it.
Yeah, I know which architecture I'm going to build it off of. I'm actually fairly proficient. Like, I have a good amount of IT knowledge. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do offshore hosting, so that, I know, for example, Richard Spencer's old website was hosted with GoDaddy, and then GoDaddy shut down his website. So I'm not going to make that same mistake and register my domain or my hosting with an American company. I would do it with a company overseas with different laws and different policy regarding free speech, because, it depends on the company. So I actually have thought about this. I'm not going to get my website taken down or anything. I'm going to have as much operational security as possible. I'm thinking I should just pay for the website and the domain name. Sorry, the hosting and the domain name with Monero. That's my thoughts. Just completely untraceable to my actual identity. I know I can do this. So, oh, by the way, if anyone wants to make this a reality, there is a Monero link in the description of my YouTube videos. And also, there's a link in my bio for my website.
All right. So, there it is. Monero link of the odd right here on every of our videos. So in terms of, we're talking about internet culture a lot, but there's also circle jerks and normie circles that are kind of resistant to any form of penetration of radical ideas. How do you see normies, boomers? Are they just lost meat of planet Earth, or is there a way to, because you talk a lot about persuasion, but in a way, persuasion never works. It works with an elite that gets interested in the knowledge, but the normies themselves, they are basically cattle.
We can't force people to be intellectually curious. That's the first thing. We cannot force radical ideas upon people. If it's too forceful, they will just ignore us. They have to kind of come about it on their own. So, for example, 4chan, I can't believe I'm using this as an example again, a lot of people got radicalized to the alt-right through 4chan. And why can't the same apply to my project? Except my version will be a higher IQ, more intellectually varied version of 4chan, where what I'm going to do to encompass everybody in the political spectrum is have a section of the board named Diode, where the people who like my ideas can have a general discussion. And then I'm going to have another board named Anti-Diode, where everybody who doesn't like my ideas will have their general discussion. So this will encompass the entirety of the political spectrum, because it's all about me and my ideas.
Okay, very interesting. So let's talk about the economy and the meaning of what is to be an anarchist to you. Are you a Stéphane Moliner fan?
No.
Okay, then what does it mean then to be an anarchist, and what's your view on political management of the economy?
Anarchy is negation of all authority. I'm against all forms of authority, meaning that I'm against all forms of rulership. And authority is the social legitimization of rulership. So, I mean, you can pretty clearly imagine what that means, but, well, you can also go on the anarchistlibrary.org and read about it. And I recommend for anybody who's curious to read historical anarchist texts like those by Errico Malatesta or Michael Bakunin, for example. And so there's two strains of anarchism I actually want to discuss with you. Social anarchism, which is the majority, which is why you have a lot of anarcho-communists online who are very socially progressive. And there's individualist anarchism, which is my strain, which is kind of a dark horse of anarchy, so to speak. My political philosophy is essentially a don't tell me what to do, but extrapolated into more complexity, philosophically speaking. But that is essentially the core of it. I am not a slave. I have high agency. I don't want other people to be slaves. I want others to have a high agency as well. And I know that the reason why most people are goyim slaves is because of rulership itself. People, the longer you rule over people, the longer and the more they need to be ruled over. People are this way because of our current form of society. So if we built our own society with counter-institutions, for example, from the ground up in the husk of the old one, well, that could actually change. Now, do I think my anarchist ideals can scale to what, the 360 million people in the United States? Probably not. But could they scale to a couple million with various autonomous territories? I think so, yeah.
So are you thinking breaking up big federations?
Not exactly. I'm thinking like more so like pockets of anarchy, like where the government can't exactly reach you, but you live in a community or with your friends in an anarchic style of life. That's very doable. It's difficult, but it is actually an accomplishable task.
Now, if there are some Christians, social conservative with authoritarian personalities who would hear your stuff here and would tell you, the anarchy that you seek is exactly what brought us where we are. The liberty that you seek is what leads these cattle individuals to follow the flows that lead them down the paths of OnlyFans, sexual degeneracy, destruction of the family. So how do you react to a social conservative who tells you just liberty doesn't work? It may work for the very brilliant mind that you are, may work for 10, 100 people in the US, but it doesn't work on the masses because masses are too retarded.
Well, I'd actually flip that. I'd argue it's the opposite. Authoritarianism is a fundamental structure of our society, and it's what got us into this mess. I mean, OnlyFans is a corporation. It is inherently authoritarian in structure. OnlyFans, like, couldn't really be the pornography center that it is today if it weren't an inherently an authoritarian creation. It's actually authority itself that created these problems. And in terms of, like, okay, is anarchy only for those of mental aristocracy? Well, in our current form of society, as things are now, yes, but it doesn't have to be this way. I believe this aristocracy can actually increase in size over time. Yes, I'm not going to persuade any 90 IQ OnlyFans girl to stop anytime soon, but I can persuade her 115 IQ younger sister to, you know, not do what her older sister's doing and to instead read books instead. So, is anarchy like the cause of why degenerate things happen? No, it's the opposite. People are living under this authoritarian conditioning, and they are degenerate as a coping mechanism for it. Men watch Netflix and pornography because their life sucks. That's the simple way to say it. Their life sucks. They have to, not have to, but they choose to engage in these behaviors because their boss screams at them, because they don't like their job, because their wife doesn't love them, or so on and so forth. And it just doesn't have to be this way. It is anarchy, the embrace of anarchy, the embrace of total negation of the current order that will actually get us out of this mess.
We talked a lot about the diagnosis. The Fayyim have gone crazy. What does the fix look like? Because we know what the target is, the fix of the family, a recentering around a family structure that works. But how do we get there pragmatically from current society?
We have to change the culture. I mean, the truth is that women are very easily influenced by social conditioning. If all her friends are believing in something, she's going to believe in it too. If we change the culture from the ground up, change the culture of the internet, merge the algorithms, this will actually, I believe, resolve itself. Like, yes, are there certain material forces that incentivize people to, some women have to prostitute themselves out of desperation, unfortunately. But most of the OnlyFans models are not doing it out of desperation. They're middle-class women who are doing it because it was socially encouraged for them to do so. If we change the culture, this actually does fix itself.
Like, would you stand by shaming, for example?
Yes.
Okay. And where do you stand on religion? Because shaming, I tend to think that religion, one of its big roles is to organize collective and social shaming.
Well, one, it doesn't do it good enough. And two, well, okay, I can elaborate on that. Religion, it's phasing out. Like, I don't know if you've heard this phrase that we're entering the age of Aquarius. Like, that's not just a meme from a pop song. Like, that's an actual thing. Like, we are entering a fundamentally different stage of human history. The age of our traditional spirituality is coming to a close. And people, like, the formal religions, like, for top-down control, that's, I mean, nobody really believes in it anymore. Like, we can't revive that. Like, Catholicism is dying. It's a meme now. Same thing with Protestantism. Same thing with, arguably, Judaism. Like, everything is dying out, actually. And if we actually care about spirituality to encourage people to do the right thing, then it will have to be from the ground up. I mean, we see a lot of increase in ground up spiritual movements. Like, you might have heard of the Baha'i Faith, for example, which has like 8 million adherents. Or you might have heard of like Anthroposophy, which I have a funny story about that. I might make a video, but we know that things are fundamentally changing spiritually, and that the traditional method of, okay, like, I am your priestly father, I don't go to church, I don't know, I'm your priestly father, confess to me your sins, and then I will give you advice and maybe slightly shame you for it, I don't, example, like, that's not really going to work. It just has to be a cultural change from the ground up, including with spirituality. Like, this is happening. Like, we see the increase of, even just like in a more general sense, woman with their, you've seen those like crystal girls with their crystals and their, you know, like horoscope tapestries, you know,
those
these, like,
are the
new
worst
age
women. I had
they
sex
are
with
they
them.
Are the worst, but it can be co-opted. This is what you don't understand. I'm subversive
in
a good
the
way.
You want to co-opt the crystal woman?
No, they're ideology. We can co-opt spirituality.
Here's an alternative rock. Here's an alternative gem. It has a different energy.
This one makes you not a slut.
Oh, it's been a while since I haven't laughed like this. Now, on biology, because you have such an idealist and beautiful project, I find it almost, it's moving. But it's also so naive in the face of the shit of the world, of biology, of immigration. I mean, you could have a perfect performance on your project, perfect mimetic penetration, full cultural domination. You still wouldn't get to the average 80 IQ migrant. You still wouldn't do a dent internationally. So it's like, no matter what your ideological revolution is, it has to touch only an elite, and it has to penetrate society only limitedly, because people are just retarded.
Yes, and I don't view that as a problem. You know, because free association is one of my core values. I mean, race is not a central focus of my politics, but I understand, okay, on average, blacks are lower IQ and they're kind of annoying. But that doesn't mean that I can't be the change I want to see in the world. Yeah, I'm not going to reach everyone, but that's not an issue. Like, if I can make pockets of anarchy and make, for example, 5% of the US population live in an anarchic form of society, then, I mean, that's enough. Like, fundamentally, I know I can't change the material conditions of society from the ground up alone. I know that in order to have cities exist, you need authority. Civilization requires authority. I'm fundamentally against civilization. This political project will inherently have to be on the outskirts, with the exception of, I don't know if you've ever heard this, but like temporary autonomous zones. You know, you remember yes. Chaz, right? Like, it was kind of a LARP. It was honestly like a Portlander LARP. But I mean, even that is kind of worth it in a sense. If you really want to stay living in a city, you and your friends can carve out a section of the city for you to live in, kick out cops, and then live there for a couple of years before you eventually get busted and taken out. But even that, arguably, for the anarcho-communists who really love cities, can be worth it. Because it is just better to die standing up than to live on your knees. So, will anarchy work? Yeah, for a portion of the population. Is that something that worries me? No.
So anarchy and bubbles can only survive in the flight, in the escape from the cities. The cities will remain dominated by these mindless bots of liberalism.
Yes.
Very interesting. Well, you are a very deep thinker. I've personally never seen an early YouTuber like this who gets such things right. You seem to have thought extremely deeply about these questions. I do find you naive and idealistic, but not in a bad way, but in a way that will definitely have to clash with the realities of the real world. I believe this may be your Achilles heel, because I've seen the attempt at pushing many of these ideas, and we find ourselves with a flow of shit coming back to us no matter what. People resist their own fixes. And I've come to believe that truly the black pill, which is that people are and societies are irreparable. But I do agree that in flight there is a hope. Because the small slivers of liberties that we've had in history increase were often combined with flight. The founding of America was flighting from Europe. And so I believe there's a chance that this works locally in certain places. How do you handle the problem of rejection of parasitism? Because any desirable bubble of any success of any kind of some ideology like yours will be eventually targeted by parasitism. People eventually want to live wherever you've created greatness. And so how do you push out the communist, basically, is my question to you.
Free association. So if people who are undergoing this political project, which is inspired by my ideas, actually do make their own pockets of anarchy, well, they can just choose who to accept in that pocket of anarchy. They don't have to allow every single person. They can just have a vetting process and actually think about the people that they're letting in. Unlike our current form of government. But really, I mean, I think everything in terms of like, oh, how do you deal with bad people? I think this is solved by free association. You can kind of tell when someone, how do I say? Like, there's a physiognomy to free riders, okay? Like, I feel like if you're informed by my videos, you're smart enough to figure it out. I think it'll be fine, honestly.
Well, that is a fantastic discussion, Diad. You are a very smart young woman, and I can't wait to see what happens with your ideas and your channel. I see a lot of hope in someone like you who took the time to think about these questions deeply. Do you have any other subjects we forgot to cover that would represent to my audience what you do and what you believe in?
I wanted to mention, so I actually did prepare for this interview and I did like write down bullet points, but I've covered almost all of them, I think. I wrote down here, oh yeah, I wanted to mention that I use the TEDK archive. I wanted to mention like websites I use just to like promote the websites.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, guys, go on the anarchistlibrary.org, go on the TEDK archive, go on marxists.org. Enjoy, enjoy. These are nice websites. Enjoy.
So Ted Kaye, let's talk about him. I love him.
Yes.
What do you think about technology? Because it seems that technology is a part of your project. You have a YouTube channel. Was Ted Kaye a little too rejecting of technology and we should be just choosing the good technologies that we want to use?
No. He was right about everything, actually. Because the truth is that the good technology, like this, you know, life-saving medical technology, well, two things. That good technology relies upon the bad technology to exist. And I'm sure we can all imagine what this is. And second thing, the good technology we have now solves the problems created by technology. It is by our increasing pollution of this world to create advanced technologies that people get these carcinogens in their bodies and then they end up with cancer at like 7 years old and then they need even more technology to rid them of the cancer. It's really quite ridiculous. No, it really is. Ted Kaye was right. Complete negation of the technological system is the most logical conclusion.
Well, I would challenge this because there's no limit. You're going to have to abandon houses. If like walls, ceilings are technology. They were a first step of technology that made us dependent on two houses to live. So it seems that there's no limit to this. Let's eliminate all technology down to you're going to be naked in a forest.
Well, there's actually an important distinction to be made here. So Ted Kaye was a Neo-Luddite. He wanted society to essentially go back to the way it was before the Industrial Revolution. And obviously before the Industrial Revolution, houses existed. Now, is there an argument you can make that all forms of, how do I say, that with this, like if we were to, for example, go back and turn back time before the Industrial Revolution, would everything build back up until this point? I would actually argue yes. Like I am a materialist. Like I really do believe material forces control our society. So yes, like in that sense, like if I create a society, let's say our current form of society doesn't exist and it's just like houses and like 1730s Britain, for example, would that develop into technology? Yes. Can I recreate a hunter-gatherer society in our day and age? No. So am I going to be able to act upon my ideals perfectly? No. Can I get close? Yes. Is it worth it? Yes. And really, if I have my own pocket of anarchy, well, I can, in a very real sense, I mean, with free association, I choose who wants to be there with me. And I mean, I can choose what gets let in to the territory. I mean, for example, we already know that the Amish, and I know many people in the alt-right don't like the Amish, but I mean, they don't completely, they choose like if a certain technology would be beneficial. So for example, they allow refrigerators, right? Why can't I do something similar? I mean, it's not perfect, right? It's not the perfect demonstration of my ideals, but in terms of having it actually be workable within the conditions in which we live, I think it's very doable.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned materialism. You believe in the theory of evolution. Do you see humanity as animals that are evolving?
Yeah. Although a lot of people are mistaken and they think evolution is when things get better. Evolution is just when things change. So we could just be getting more retarded because it benefits us more.
Wow. You have a high level understanding of these ideas. I find it fantastic. You hit on all the points absolutely right on target. You truly understand the world. Do you know about me? Like, have you been watching my videos across the year? Because you have so many of my ideas. I'm wondering if I've impacted you in any way.
Honestly, I made a Twitter account like 2.5 months ago, and I kind of just, okay, this is going to sound hilarious. I kind of just started getting into the alt-right, like socially speaking, but I am aware. Like, I am aware. Like, it's not that I watched your videos, but I did watch a video where Fuentes was debating with some e-girl on like why she shouldn't have a job, and you introduced to Nick Fuentes, and I saw that of you. But I know there's like, I've seen like clips of like you talking with Richard Spencer. Like, I've seen some, like, you know, I've familiarized myself somewhat, but have I watched you specifically? I'm so sorry to say no.
Oh, that's fine. That's fine. I don't take it as an insult. Marty Party sends a super chat. He says, JF, does our genetic propensity towards social groups make an industrial revolution-like event inevitable or probable? Is this political project a fight against nature? Thanks for coming on, Diod. Enjoying the convo. Yeah, I would say there is certainly a point of convergence. Humans being social animals, they want to split the goods. They want to split the energy available on Earth for them to consume. Eventually, they form specialization of work. The bread maker becomes a bread maker. The chef becomes a chef. The politician becomes a politician. And because of the division of work, you end up having whole communities just dependent on a growing system of employment and eventually an industrial civilization. Diad, any take on this?
Yes. So it's important to note that 99% of human history was in hunter-gatherer societies. This is something that pretty much nobody takes note of. We don't get taught about prehistory because obviously it was prehistory, so there was no writing. So it's kind of hard to teach about prehistory if there's no real evidence, so to speak. But 99% of human history was in hunter-gatherer societies, and civilization was kind of a mistake. Like, it really just happened by accident. And you can, I mean, you can, like, look into this specifically, but, like, I know it had to do with, like, the ice ages and how, like, humans had to start, like, planting seeds to survive. I forget the exact reasons why, but I do know that civilization did arise basically out of happenstance, out of, like, a curious accident. And I don't think civilization will last forever, honestly. I'm not precisely a doomsday prepper, but I do know that every civilization does collapse. And it's only going to be a matter of time. Like, I don't want to be that meme. You know that one meme image where it's like, I can't wait for society to collapse so my ideology can rise out of the ashes. But actually, like, that's so true, though.
Absolutely. Like, I mean, the fact that it happens so quick and as an error, as you lay it, it's also very white-pilling because it means it can't also last for long. There's no proof of stability in the modern world. Those things have not been tested, from LGBT ideology to even industries and big cities. All of this has not been tested and has not survived the test of time. Well, Diod, it was a great pleasure talking to you. Any words to say to our audience before we conclude?
Talk to people with drastically different viewpoints with you online. We have to merge the algorithms.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for being here.